All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you today. Welcome to church. Welcome to New Life Church. I want to say hi again to those watching online with us this morning and participating in worship with us today from a distance. What a week. What a season. What a time. Let me invite you to open up your Bibles to Isaiah 7 and then Matthew 1. Isaiah 7 and Matthew 1. As we are preparing again for our Advent season, Christmas season, journey to the Nativity, I want to read these verses to set up this series today. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Isaiah prophesied, he said, "The Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Let's look at Matthew 1, verse 17. All those listed above in the genealogy of Jesus, it says, includes 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 generations from David to the Babylonian exile, and 14 generations from the Babylonian exile to the Messiah. Verse 18, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 22, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through this prophet, through his prophet, who was Isaiah. Saying again, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Would you pray with me over today's text? Lord, we give you thanks for your word and what it means. And we ask, Lord, that it would be alive and fresh to our hearts this season, that you would speak something fresh and new to us. You would open our eyes to see, most importantly, how amazing and how great you are, and also how much you truly love us and care for us. Let us see, O Lord, the power of this story, that it would not be old and too familiar, but it would be fresh and new to our hearts. We yield to you now, and we thank you for what you have to say, for we are listening in Jesus' name. And everyone can say, amen and amen. This prophecy that Isaiah gave was 700 years before the birth of Christ. That is a long time. You're talking about people hearing it, dying, people not hearing it, and living, and dying, and so on and so forth. 700 years. That's a long time to wait for something that is so significant. You know, next week begins the traditional season of Advent, the arrival of and countdown to Christmas. And Advent means a hopeful arrival of a significant event, a period of time that is marked by anticipation and preparation and waiting. Travel with me. Think of this for a moment. Imagine this. If you and I, suddenly all of our phones went dead. Suddenly we no longer received mail. We no longer received text. We no longer received emails. We no longer had any type of any of that type of communication coming to us. Not for a day or two or a week, but for 400 years. The rest of your life and my life, no more of that. Some of us will be like, okay, I'm cool with that. But think about it. No communication coming to you. No calls, no texts, no notifications. What would our brains do? What would our minds think? That's essentially what was happening, or what happened, between the Old and the New Testament. It's called the 400 years of silence. God's regular communication through the prophets went silent. But during those 400 years, though, those 400 years of silence, God did not abandon his people. He didn't just leave. No, but what he was doing was setting the stage for one of the next great arrival, which would be the birth and the coming of his son, Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at this video.
Sometimes waiting on God is like trying to find cell reception in the middle of nowhere. No bars. That's infuriating. I mean, look at this place. You'd think they'd have better reception out here. Hello? Hello? Is that snow? Oh, goody. Or maybe that word from God is like waiting on a text reply. The worst. It's those three little dots. All I needed was a quick response, but they just keep going and going and going. What are you doing? Are you recapping the Count of Monte Cristo? I just need an answer. Is it cell phone coverage? Is it me personally? Is it you? Is it me? I don't know.
Answer me!
Or maybe waiting on God is like trying to get reception in an underground tunnel. Over 2,000 years ago, God's people were also waiting. They were literally for hundreds of years waiting for God to give them a message, an answer. Previously, God found ways to communicate, whether it be a burning bush, a pillar of fire, prophets and kings, and now nothing. It was like they knew he was there, but there was like a lost connection, you know? Have you ever felt like that? Deafening silence in your hour of need. And even in that silence, with only three little dots to hold on to and one bar of hope, we are reminded why we celebrate Christmas. For unto us a child is born, our Messiah. And do you know what that means for us? And he will never leave you.
Amen. The title of today's message is called Wait. I've asked Todd to read our main text regarding this today.
Psalms 131, 1 through 3, the Passion Translation. Lord, my heart is meek before you. I don't consider myself better than others. I'm content to not pursue matters that are over my head, such as your complex mysteries and wonders that I'm not yet ready to understand. I am humbled and quieted in your presence, like a contented child who rests on its mother's lap. I'm your resting child, and my soul is content in you. O people of God, your time has come to quietly trust, waiting upon the Lord now and forever.
Thank you, Todd. Waiting upon the Lord. You know, the silent times of life may cause us to wonder, is God really involved in our life? Today I want to share with you three thoughts on how God can use silence for our good. Number one is God prepares us in silence. God prepares us in silence. In 1996, around January, early part of that year, I was in my final semester of Bible college, and the Lord spoke to me coming out of 95 into 96 to take some time, an undetermined amount of time, to be quiet before him, to be still before him. Now, telling a 21-year-old to be still and to be quiet is, I mean, come on, let's just get real. That's not what we want to do. But I wasn't quite sure what God was up to. The Lord also asked me to lay down dating, to not be seeking anybody to date or to look at perhaps if they were going to be my wife, and just lay that down. And I was like, okay, I don't want to do that, but if that's what you're asking me to do. I did it. It was not easy to do. It was not easy to come home from work, and I was in, as I said, finishing up my final semester of college and waiting for what would be next. And I didn't know what was next. I knew the Lord had called me into ministry, but there was no guarantees. There were no promises of jobs or openings on staff at church or anything to that nature. And I felt like I was living in literally just in a silent time of life. And so come home and at night and go to my bedroom and pray, read the scriptures, and just sit at home. I mean, it's real exciting stuff. I mean, at 21, right? Real exciting. But I didn't know how much time God was going to require me to walk this out. But the good news, it was just about 4 months. It was only 4 months. I didn't know it at the time. But later that spring, I would almost get at the end of my studies, about to graduate that spring. And then also, I met my wife. I met Haley at that time. Did not know that was going to happen. Didn't know any of that. The rest is history. What I didn't understand, but looking back on, was that God was preparing me for what was next. And in order to prepare me for what was next, he had to have my undivided attention, and he had to have my full cooperation, my full surrendering to let him really do some things in my heart and in my life. You know, just because I can't hear God or see God working, I can still know that he is working. We sing part of that this morning in one of our worship songs. You know, during the 400 years of silence, life was actually still happening behind the scenes for God's people. The Greek language spread. What it did was create a common language that would later help spread the gospel. God was working. Roman roads were built, which were making travel easier for the upcoming future missionaries. God was working in the silent times. The Jewish people held on to their faith, and they held on to the promise that the Messiah who was promised would still come. They didn't know when. You know, in 600 years earlier, prior to that time, God's voice was often also silent. 1 Samuel 3:1, it says, "The boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli, who was the priest." And it says, "Now in those days, the messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions from God were quite uncommon." What was God doing in silence? He was preparing. He was preparing. And in that moment, he was preparing a new prophet. He was preparing a new leader who would rise to speak to God's people, the prophet Samuel. There's two books named after him, 1st and 2nd Samuel. He would go on to prepare, Samuel would go on to prepare Saul, who would be the first king of Israel. And then he would also eventually then prophetically anoint the young shepherd boy David to take his place, who was in the lineage and the line, the bloodline of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King of all kings. What was God doing in the silent periods? He was preparing people for the next great thing. You know, we're all going to go and often experience and go through seasons of waiting, seasons of silence, and not really sure what to do. And it's in those times that we have an opportunity to really trust God, to trust that God is preparing us for something greater. There's a reason God puts pauses in our life. There's a reason God puts periods of silence and waiting in our life. It's not to be cruel, but it's to show us and to prepare us that he has something greater that is around the corner. I mean, we teach our children to wait, right? A lot of times they'll ask us nonstop for certain things, and what do we tell them? Just wait. Not right now. Not yet. God prepares us in the times of silence. What might God be preparing you for in this time of your life? I just want to encourage us, may we all be encouraged in this, to embrace the stillness, to embrace the quietness, to embrace the silence, and to wait in faith. Number two, God builds our faith in silence. He builds our faith in silence. In January of 2003, I was approached with the possibility, or the opportunity rather, to move from Memphis to Jackson and join the staff of the church here as senior associate pastor, with one day to become the successor and the lead pastor of the church. And I took that, and I was like, well, one, I don't think I want to move. I'm not really keen into that. We were actually getting ready to build a new house and in a different place near where we lived. And I was like, I think we're good. I'm going to just sit still. I'm going to hang tight. I'm going to just keep doing what I'm doing. But I said, I'll tell you what I will do. I will pray. I will at least pray, because I don't want, you know, if this is something from God, I don't want to just assume and presume about that, because we know what that can do to us. And so I did. Haley and I began to pray, and we just submitted it to the Lord. And time goes by, we pray a little more. Time goes by, we pray a little more. 20 months go by. 20 months go by. And we've been praying and asking the Lord, is this something that, is this you? Do you, is this what you have for us to do? And at the end of 20 months, it became clear that, yeah, this is what God had in mind for our lives. Also in that period of time, at the beginning of 03, we had decided that we wanted to begin to start a family. And through time, nothing was happening. We go to the doctors, and they do tests on both of us. And some of you have heard this story and part of our testimony before. But they say, you know what? You have less than 25% of a chance to ever have a child on your own, even with the help of health care. There's absolutely nothing else can be done, less than 25% chance. So we're going through this whole period like wondering, God, where are you at? Like the dude in the video up in the mountains, can you hear us? Do you hear our prayers, God? Because it feels like you are a million, you're in a completely different universe. And we're left here wondering. We have friends having kids, we have friends having families are enlarging, going to baby showers, and we can't have our own, you know, and all of these things. And it was a kind of a dark, lonely time for us during those 20 months. And we said, okay, at the end of the 20 months, it just again became clear, move, take it, move. So in January of 05, we moved here, coming up on 20 years. It's hard to believe, some of you that have been around that long and still want to hang out around here, thank you for doing that. But yeah, 20 years in January since we moved here. And then later in 05, after we moved here, that fall, we found out we were going to have our child. And Eden was born that following year in 06. But it was a long journey of silence. And we stood on God's word, Hebrews 11, the story of Abraham and Sarah. And thankfully, he didn't make us wait till we were 90-something years old to have kids. And now we have three, as you all know, we have three. And I think it was St. Tom Petty who said, the waiting is the hardest part. he wasn't a saint, but I think he might be right. Waiting is tough. Anybody like waiting? No. You're having to wait for me to get done for this sermon today. Anybody like waiting? No. Waiting's tough. Waiting on God, man, what's it do? It stretches our faith, doesn't it? It stretches our faith. You know, this period of silence that we will go through from time to time teaches us an important lesson about faith, because genuine faith isn't just believing when everything is clear and everything makes sense and all is right in the world. No. Believing, faith is believing that God is still working even when we can't see Him or even when we can't hear Him. Consider what Paul tells the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 13. verse 12, he writes, now we, right now, everyone say now. Come on, everybody say now. Now we see things imperfectly in our life right now. We don't see things perfectly clear. They're like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. These three things last forever: faith, say it with me, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Faith is a part of those three things that last forever. Right now in life, we don't see things all that clear. What do we often pray for? God, let me have some clarity. Let me see things the way I need to see them. Let me understand everything the way I need to understand it. And what often happens is when we pray prayers like that, what God does is build us to have greater faith, greater trust in Him. Genuine faith thrives in the absence of evidence. The silent times are not only the testing times, but they are also the growing, building times for our faith. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 1. The Hall of Fame, Hall of Faith chapter, if you will. The writer writes, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. That it gives us, faith gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Paul writes to the Corinthian believers in 2 Corinthians 5 that we live or walk by faith and not by sight. You know, when we face silence in our spiritual journey, it's a time where God uses to build our faith. We don't always like what we're having to go through. We don't always understand what we're having to go through or what we're dealing with. But during those 400 years of silence, God's people didn't have any prophets bringing them any fresh new words. Could you imagine how many people wanted to just give up? How many people just wanted to quit? But what they did have what we call now the Old Testament Scriptures. God's Word was a source of strength, and it was a source of faith building for them. And likewise, you and I now have the entire Bible. We have all of God's Word at our disposal. For Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How does our faith get built? What does God use to help build our faith? He uses His Word. To you and I, what may feel and seem like a period and a time of silence, and that our prayers may be falling on deaf ears in heaven, no, God is using that time to not only prepare us, but God is using this time to build our faith, to trust Him more, to want to approach Him more, to want to go to Him more, to want to trust Him more, to want to depend on Him more, to want to cling to Him more, to want to go to Him more, to want to pray to Him more, to want to draw on Him more, to want to draw near to Him more. That is what God does in periods of silence. And what that does, it builds our faith. And so think about, reflect on a time in your life, maybe right now, where you have felt that for God to be silent. How did you respond during that time? How can you and I respond next to grow in our faith? We must embrace the silent periods that God brings us through by meditating on His Word. Thirdly and lastly, God impacts us in silence. God impacts us in silence. In the spring of 2011, I didn't know it, but God was bringing me through it to another period of silence. Like, man, what did I do to deserve all this time of silence? God was wanting to impact me and impact our church. And the spring of that of 2011, the Lord led me in a time of intense prayer where pretty much almost every week, every Wednesday, the Lord would take me in. I would meet with Him in the sanctuary of our former location where we used to be. And just pray. I was seeking and asking God for direction. I was looking for a green light, and all He had me do was wait at a red light. Anybody love waiting at red lights? Oh, especially when you know you got to get somewhere, you maybe left late, you're in a hurry, what have you. And then you get those old school signals, those old school lights, where the sensors don't work properly. I mean, I'm still convinced the one right up here at Airways and 223. I think every time I approach that, God's like, let's just see how patient you can be. And He just, over the signal, over the sensor. And He's like, I'm like, God, there is nobody coming. And that side is green and I am red and we need to be moving here. I don't know. I don't like always waiting at red lights. But that's where I was, at a red light. A lot of you know the history of our church, and at that point in time, financially, it was really, really tight, really, really hard to just pay bills and be fruitful in ministry. And so all I knew to do was pray, because I didn't have direction and I didn't have a green light to do anything different, so I prayed. And I prayed some more, week 2, week 3, week 12, week 52, week 82. Finally, around week 104, 2 years in the spring. It was almost 2 years to the day. I prayed and come out of the sanctuary. And oftentimes, Pastor Prentice, by the way, many people are traveling this week with Thanksgiving. He's first time he's gotten to travel to see his family in St. Louis in over 2 years. And I'm grateful he gets to go do that and be with his family. But he would often join me in prayer in there. And I came out of that sanctuary that day, and I went straight to his office, and I said, I think I've got a green light, but I want to see if you think it's right. Shared with him about the green light. It was about our whole process that we began to do of selling the property and getting out of debt, and et cetera, et cetera. He was like, yes, I was sensing the same thing not long ago. I was waiting to see if you would know it first. And so then that's what happened. And so 2 years of waiting, 2 years of praying, 2 years of silence, waiting at a red light, waiting for the light to change green, finally happened. You know, the impact of waiting for something so important is such a big deal. The impact that has on you is great. It's always on your mind. It's always in your prayers. It's often in your conversation when you're waiting on something. And this is obviously keenly evident in the time that we're about to enter into, especially come next week, the beginning of December, a week from today, December 1st, marking the countdown to Christmas with Advent calendars and things to that nature. The expectations, even the agitation of asking and doing the Christmas list and buying the gifts and all of the things, and it just is there. Could it be that God was using those 400 years of silence and using silence in our lives now to build anticipation? To build anticipation. A lot of great things are worth waiting for, right? Often heard something similar to that. And this silence in this moment, in this period of time, the silence made the arrival of Jesus so much more powerful. So much more powerful. He broke through the silence. God did. 400 years with the birth of his son. Isaiah again said this in Isaiah 9:6. A child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You see, Isaiah's words traveled 700 years. And 400 of those years, his word stood in silence, looking at a red light, waiting for it to turn green. And it finally did. Luke chapter 2, verse 6. It says, and while they were there, Mary and Joseph, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, 400 years waiting. 400 years of silence. That moment, the Son of God was born. And at that night, an angel appeared. An angel of the Lord appeared, and the radiance of God's glory surrounded those shepherds. They were freaked out and terrified, as we all would be. The angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news. Good news that will bring great joy to all people." That, my friends, that is the good news. Good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, in the city of David. Just like that, all the waiting was over. Just like that, the birth of Jesus ended 400 years of silence and set in motion God's redemption plan that would forever affect every human being for eternity. You see, the arrival of Jesus reminds us that God's ultimate communication for us is His love. The birth of Jesus reminds us that God certainly, indeed, loves every single one of us. You see, in our lives, we can look forward to how God will break through in our periods of silence with His presence. You see, when you and I embrace and enter into silent times, waiting times, not knowing what to do times, God, do you hear me at times? Are you listening to me? Are my prayers making it to you? God, what are you really trying to do right now in my life? I don't understand. Why are you having me wait this out? Why are you having me go slow when I want to go fast? I'm ready to get to the next thing. God, what are you doing? You see, when we have those moments, those are not the kind of moments for us to take matters into our own hands and force life to happen, force the next thing to happen. I can only try to imagine what my life would be like if I did not yield to that time of silence in 1996. I'd be married to a different person. You wouldn't have the joy of knowing me. I wouldn't have the pleasure of knowing you. Quite honestly, I probably would end up divorced about 3 or 4 times. That's just who I used to be. That's why I dated so much. I had to have a person. I had to have a person. I had to have a person. And God was like, you don't need a person. You need Jesus, son. You need to sit. You need to be quiet. And you need to embrace this time because I'm setting your life up for a different future, a legacy that you can't make happen on your own. I just kind of wonder. I'm thankful it didn't go that way. I'm thankful it went God's way. God is a redeemer. If we do make decisions out of haste and we do try to force life our way, you know what? When we do come around and we yield to the Lord's way, He has grace and He has redemption because He always loves. And because He always loves, He always has a way to take a mess and turn it into a miracle. Always. So don't live life in condemnation if you feel like you have just royally screwed your life up. Don't walk around in regret and shame if you feel like, man, how do I undo what I have done? How do I make right where I have gone wrong? How can I do something different? You yield to the Lord. You surrender it all to Jesus. And you let Him come in and love you the way He's always wanted to love you. And then you just sit back and watch Him unfold your life the way He intends. He has a way. Love has a way. What's a way that you and I can prepare our heart this season to recognize God's working in your midst? Even when you can't see it, He's working. Even when you can't feel it, He's working. Even when you can't hear His voice that well, He's working. But we have a chance. God gives us an opportunity to take Him up on the offer of preparing Him room in our hearts. Because there's always more to the story. There's always more to what God is wanting to do. You know, in the video that we watched, but the phone and the three dots, if you're a texter, you get that. You know, man, you're waiting on the reply, right? You see the three dots. And especially if they have red receipts, if they show that they had read it, it shows that they read it and when they read it, and you're like, I know you stinking read what I sent you. You better hurry up and get back to me. I need to know what you're thinking, right? And three dots, three dots, three dots. Here's the thing. Those three dots, they let us know an answer is coming. It may not be the answer we want, but an answer is coming. With God, sometimes there's three dots. Maybe you are in a place of waiting right now. Man, you would so much like to transition to another chapter in life. Maybe you would so much like to see an answer to some of your prayers. Maybe you'd like to just really be able to experience a season of peace and not chaos or stress. Maybe you're needing hope. You're unsure. How am I really going to make it? Maybe you need some reassurance that you didn't run the red light, but it actually was green. And you just wondered. Maybe you need some encouragement. You're waiting for some solid, simple encouragement. How are you handling that right now? How are you dealing with that right now? It is so heartbreaking to know when you know people have been waiting and waiting and waiting, but they quit waiting and they just give up. And they do something different, do something on their own. And it's just amazing. Just another minute, the message, the answer what you had been hoping for came through. How are you handling your waiting? How will you handle your waiting? You know, the communion table is an amazing, tangible, yet sacred act of worship that reminds us that an answer is coming. Jesus had a final meal with his disciples. And shortly before that, he had told them, there's going to be a time here soon you're going to need to wait in Jerusalem. He didn't tell them how long, but you're going to need to wait. They had to wait from the moment of his arrest and his crucifixion and his burial for the third day to happen. Then they had to wait a little bit longer for the Holy Spirit to be given. But he had this meal with them, and he sat with them, and this meal, these elements, the bread and the cup of the new covenant, they remind us. He said, this bread is my body broken for you. This cup is the cup of the new covenant. It represents my blood that will be shed for the forgiveness of your sins. And he says this, every time you eat it and every time you drink it, it's going to remind you and cause you to remember me. To remember that I am not leaving you. I am not abandoning you. I am not forsaking you. That you may not hear me all the time. You may wonder if I'm really listening to you. You may wonder, what am I up to on your behalf? And every time we draw near to the table, it reminds us that an answer is coming. He came once and he will come again. Even in our silence, God is preparing us. In our silence, God is building our faith. Even in silence, God is impacting us for eternity. And that, my friends, is what we need to keep on the forefront of our minds, because we live in a now and want it done yesterday society. This world conditions us, and it's always a resistance. There's always a resistance because the temptation is to always get what we want now, right? And we don't like waiting. So how will you handle waiting? Some of us may be not too good, but may we draw strength from what God wants to do in our silence. Prepare us, build our faith, and impact us for what is in the future. Because God knows there's more to the story. Would you stand with me today? Let's bow our heads. Let me pray with us. Father, we come before you this morning reminded from your word the variety of ways that you work in silence and in waiting. Lord, I know we're all guilty of not waiting, of trying to get ahead of you, trying to get ahead of the problem, trying to get ahead of the situation because we think we got to do something about it. Try to make it happen. But Lord, until you give the green light, we shouldn't move. Until you give direction, we shouldn't go. Until you give confirmation, we shouldn't act. So Lord, today, as we enter this season of Advent, a time of hopeful waiting, let our hearts really be prepared to make room for more of you, less of our ideas, and more of your purpose and plans for us. Let us truly embrace this time of waiting in the natural as we approach the birth of Christ in about a month. let this season truly do what you want it to do. And teach us for the years ahead, Lord, that you're going to take us through periods of silence and waiting, not because you're trying to spoil us from having any fun and enjoying life. No, it's so you can make us ready to embrace it with the right heart, with the right character, with the right frame of mind. We yield to you today that as we come to the table of communion to eat the bread and taste the cup of the new covenant, we do so with the understanding that you are telling us today an answer is on its way. Just be patient and wait. I know what I'm doing, says the Lord. Let that resonate within us today as we come to your table. Reassure us that we are forgiven. As we ask you for forgiveness and we repent of our sins and our shortcomings, God, you hear us, you welcome us, you receive us, you forgive us, and you set us in motion on the right path. Do that for us today. If we're sincere in our hearts, Lord, do that for us today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We have a table set, one to my left and one to my right. I would encourage you now, you may come, take your bread, dip it in the cup, and as you do, take a moment of having personal, silent reflection before the Lord today, and let him speak to your heart.